We're running a little bit behind schedule, and if you'll permit me, I'm a little jealous for the time. The next 2 weeks, actually in the next 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about different emotions or different experiences in life on a very pastoral level. And there's a lot of richness to digging into these issues that are more pastoral in nature, because they're a part of our humanity. They're a part of our weekly experience. If you'll permit me, I want to say that the issue that we're going to be talking about the next 2 weeks, failure, is one of those that if we've got a little core in our being that we protect, if we've got a little part of our life that we guard with everything that we possibly can guard, failure is one of those experiences that can penetrate into that inner core of our being, and it scares us. And it shakes us up, and we don't like it. Think with me about a time that you have failed. What kind of feelings, what kind of emotions go through you at that time? Think about a failure that was very deep, that penetrated to that inner core of our being, that shook you up. Failures like that. It digs in where few other things can, and it makes us hurt, and it makes us fight, and it makes us bend our knee. That's the beauty of failure and also the ugliness of failure. A couple of things that I need to tell you up front. I'm going to try as best as I can to not equate failure with sin. Now, it's not always going to be possible, because a lot of our failures are sins. But I also want to talk about failures that aren't sins. When you get an A minus in a test, did you fail? Well, in some people's point of view, yes. Because failure is very relative. To you, your failure may be somebody else's success in a way. And to other people, their failures are very deep, and they're very diverse, and they're spread out throughout the whole spectrum of their life, and no one would want their failures. So I'm going to try, and yet a lot of times the failures are going to be equated with sin. When we're fighting against something that we shouldn't, and we fail in that fight, and ultimately one of the things that I want to come back to is that failure touches in on issues of faith. One time that of my failure, this was very early in my life, and this issue of failure is a very emotional one for me, because there have been times, a number of times, that God has put me in situations where I have failed that have been powerful experiences in my life. In fact, I want to venture to say that through my failures, I have grown and I have learned more than any successes. And I guess that in your life, you might say the same thing. When I was young, I played football, and I was 7th grade. I was playing football. We had a really good team. I was a right tackle. Now, I wasn't that big as a 7th grader, but I was feisty, and I didn't like to lose. And so I think they just put me on the line and told me to just butt my head into these bigger guys and do whatever I could. And this one game, we traveled 3 hours away. We were a good team, and we traveled to play some champions of another city. And I remember that game was such an emotional game for me. And I remember lining up against this guy that was just huge, and the whole game just throwing my body into him and him playing with me like a rag doll. And at the end of the game, we lost. And I did terrible because I couldn't stop this guy. And I remember the emotions were so powerful of that failure, of that experience. And I remember the other team was walking off the field, and I was just livid with anger. And I just started going berserk, and I started running after that team. I was gonna flatten them all single-handedly. And I was screaming and I was shouting, and my coaches had to run after me and tackle me. And they're on top of me, and I'm just, come on, I want to get them. And that is the experience of a lot of people's failure, that you fight against it. You don't want to ever fail. Working with Wheaton College students, you see that clearer than any other group of people I have ever worked with. They don't want to fail. I want to say in a white-collar city such as Wheaton, we don't want to fail. We're almost like these racehorses that have been grown and nurtured and trained to perform and to succeed and to run that race. And it's almost like we're all in this lined up for the race, and we're looking at each other, trying to eye each other out to see, can I beat that person? Can I outperform? How well will I do? And yet a lot of times we stand there and we look and we say, boy, what am I doing in this race? I'm out of my league. And we go out and we perform and we fail, so to speak. In other words, we're not the best. In other words, we're not the center of attention. And those failures are gripping in our lives, and they're humbling in our lives. And so the thesis that I want to present is that failure, cloaked within the sovereignty of God, is a pathway to two things. One, to a deeper knowledge of God. And I think it's beautiful. One of the reasons is because we identify with Christ. Look at Christ's life. Look at what we just celebrated here. The sign that we just took part in the eyes of the world, what a complete failure that this man was. And yet in our failures, we identify with Christ. And so that's part of just coming to a deeper knowledge of God. And then the second is a life lived in vibrant faith. And one of the things that I want us to look at is how failure and faith are interconnected, and you just can't separate them. Failure is a pathway to faith. So as we get in, look up Habakkuk 3. I want to kind of take this as a theme verse. Habakkuk is one of those books that's towards the end of the Old Testament, and it's just fun to say. So whether it has anything good in it or not, Habakkuk is one of my favorite books of the Bible, actually. And the very last few verses are powerful verses, and they speak to failure. So let me just read these. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. And I need to preface by saying, in that day and age, the land was everything. And you know that. In the Old Testament times, the land was everything. The land was more than just a piece of dirt. The land was theological in nature. The land was powerful. The land, as the land went, so the people went. So verse 13, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on high. Some powerful verses there. Though all these things take place in your life, though, and we're going to look at, for the things in our life, what are the those of our life? What are the failures of our life that we can stand in the midst of those failures and say, though this happens and this happens and this happens, yet, and that yet is a powerful word, although it's only little, just a small word. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God my salvation. Well, let me hear from you. Why is failure such an emotional issue for us? Why is it something that grips us so? Why do you think? Okay. Thank you. What are some other or any other experiences? Yeah. Yeah. it digs deep down into the core. It begins with maybe our desires. Maybe it begins with our dreams, our hopes, those things that I talked about, that inner core of our being that is so much a part of who we are. And as a result of that, our actions come out of it. And when our actions come out of that inner core and all of a sudden they're hit by a failure, they're hit by a wall, something happens. It's so hard. You're working in a job and you end up losing the job. That's such a, it touches the core of our being. It hurts. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Carol? Yeah. And we're going to come back and talk more about that next week, that our humanity is something that we fight against. And going back to the Garden of Eden, humanity has been fighting against their humanity from the very beginning of time. So, any other? Yeah. Yeah. That's great. There are some powerful messages. What are some other things from our society? What are some other elements? You mentioned success, but what are some other elements of our society that teaches us in regard to failure? Yeah. Good. Independence. Yeah. 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 Very well said. That's excellent. Yeah. Our society, the self-realization, and we even put it in spiritual terms. You even see it in the spiritual realm, that this whole idea, we take that, I think, a very secular concept, and we put the right spiritual jargon to it, and all of a sudden, it's the same thing. It's performance. It's attaining. It's the American dream, right? The American dream of success, of rising life. And one of the things that I should say is that I'm not saying that we just turn over and roll over on our bellies and don't do anything. I don't put as much emphasis on that because I believe that the people that we're talking with here are not people that are like that. That we are all driven. We are all performance. And there are elements that we need to try and please the Lord in our work. But in that pleasing, the whole trust issue comes up, because who are we trusting? Are we trusting ourselves and our own works, or are we trusting that whether we succeed or fail in life, God is still going to be pleased in our life, and He's still going to do wonderful things through our life because of His sovereignty. Sovereignty is a beautiful thing. Any other comments? I don't want to cut anyone off. Two things. On your outline, I just tried to limit it to two things that you kind of talked about. It opposes what the modern culture values, and second of all, it opposes the inner delights and hopes of the heart. We don't even realize this, but from an early age, we are cultivating different ways of thinking and different ways of performing in our life that in many ways run contrary to a life lived in trust before the Lord. And I am ashamed to say that that's very much a part of my life, that I am a performer, I am an achiever, I always have been. That's the way I've been taught. And so I can perform and I can achieve, but what happens when failure comes into my life? And it has. At numerous times, in very powerful ways, what does it do to me? And those issues, those times are the times that we really need to look at. What are the inner desires of your heart? Are the inner desires of your heart such that when outward failure comes, those desires are not affected? I wish I could say that that's true for me. But in shame, I have desires in my heart that are not rooted in that kind of foundation. And those are the times that we need to look in. Proverbs 16:2 says, man plans his steps, but God looks at the motives of the heart. God just looks down into our heart and he sees what are those motives, what are those ambitions, what are those things in there that are driving you. And for me, he has had to, at a number of times, put in failures in my life to make me stop and to say, oh my goodness. What am I doing? I'm in this performance mode of trying to please myself, of trying to achieve. And where is God in this whole picture? We need to cry out with the psalmist in 139, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Well, just one other comment, that we have trained ourselves in what is good. We've trained ourselves to perceive good. We talked about that in the first service. And often, we cannot equate goodness with failure. They seem juxtaposed. They seem like they are in the opposite realm. And so when failure comes in our life, we say, where is the goodness in that? And one of the things that we'll look at later is that sometimes causes us to turn to God and to say to God, God, have you failed me? Because failure is so equated with goodness in our life that then it turns to God and we say, God, what are you doing in our life? How many people do that? How many people cry out and say, God, what are you doing in my life? Because we've made this equation, and it's a real unrealistic equation. Okay, failure and faith, we talked a little bit about that. Let's move on. And in Habakkuk, it was the land. The land was not performing. The fig tree was not performing. There were no sheep in the pen. All these different things were happening. Let me ask you, what are those failures for us? If we could take that image of Habakkuk in pre-Christ days and now take the same equation, what are the failures in our society? Okay, and linked to that would be money, would be absolutely. Money's one of those things that reaches down. And this past week, with what the stock has been going on, I'm sure that a lot of people have been really shaken by that. Yeah. Great. Security. I like that one. Security. Planning for your retirement. And there is common sense in planning for your retirement. But where is the line between being a steward, and we're going to talk about this, being a steward with what we have, and then trusting, putting that trust that my security in life is what I depend upon. And if anything causes that to be shaken, well, that hurts, that shakes me up. Yeah. Anything else, Tom? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Betty? Yeah, boy, you see it on the in the college campus so clearly. That freshman year, the students just walk on campus and they just start they subconsciously looking and eyeing out the competition and saying, how do I compare? And when you realize as a freshman that there are so many other sharp people, that really shakes people up. And you take that same thing and you put it into the business world, you put it into the church itself, and it's true all the way through. Any other things? Yes. Yeah. Right. And that's absolutely the deepest failure that, and we all nod the head and say, yes, that is me. I am a part of that failure. And that's very true. Well, let me talk about four different kinds of failure. And we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to kind of just touch on these briefly. The first is failure of performance, and you've mentioned this. It's that performance when you are trying to do something. Your actions are so involved in what is happening. Look with me at Mark. Actually, I put down the wrong passage there. Look at Mark 6. This has been a powerful passage for me. And there's one phrase in this that I really identify with. Look at Mark 6, verses 40. Let's look at 45 through 51. Immediately, Jesus, and to give you the background, the disciples had just been sent out, and they came back, and they had done all these incredible things, and they were so excited about telling Jesus. Jesus was about to take them away to the countryside to just spend some alone time, and here were all these people, and we have the feeding of the 5,000. Right after that, Jesus was exhausted, the disciples were exhausted, he sent them out in a boat, and he went up to the mountainside to pray. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." He climbed into the boat and the wind died down. Three things that I just want to have us focus upon. The first is straining at the oars. Have you ever felt in life that you're straining at the oars? We get into this and we just feel like the world is against us, and to meet those expectations that were talked about, to meet that the standard of comparing ourselves to other people, sometimes it's even what we consider survival, just to survive. And we're like those disciples out in the middle of the lake, and we're just straining at those oars. We're trusting, and that's where the issue of faith and trust comes in. We're trusting in our own actions. And there's a big difference between performing and doing and trusting. And that's where I want to say so many of us fail, and I myself have failed. That it's not just my actions, it's not just doing things, but it's trusting in my doing. Trusting and relying on my own actions and hoping that my actions are going to take me through. Because I look around and I see other people's actions are doing that same thing for them. Straining at the oars. The second thing is because of their performance, and they're so obsessed with it that they were not able to see Jesus Christ. He was going to walk right by them. And in fact, when they actually saw him, they didn't even recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. Well, you know, they saw him walking on the water, so that would be we would say that would be a little scary, but they knew Jesus. They knew, they just saw him do this, feed these 5,000. And yet they didn't, And so many times in our life, and I find myself so guilty of this, that I am so busy and I am so performance-oriented that I am not able to see Jesus Christ, that I am standing in my own way. And sometimes God needs to allow me to fail, to get to that point where I just can't trust anymore in myself, for Him to step in and say, "Here am I. Remember me? Don't be afraid." And that's the third thing, is that fear. Fear is so much a part of our life. And Jesus walks into the situations of our failure and He says, "Take courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid." Some beautiful things. Just one passage from Jeremiah. Let me just read this to you because I think it speaks to us. He said, listen, he says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man." Those are some powerful words, isn't it? "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Cursed is that person. And we need to allow that to be a reprimand to us in the middle of life. That when we are trusting in our own efforts, when we are relying on ourselves, we need to have the word of the Lord come to us and say, "Cursed is the person that trusts in the flesh." And then the next couple verses say, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green." It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. "It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fail to bear fruit." Jeremiah 17. In the middle of life, we should be like that tree whose roots dig deep into the soil to find the source. And the source is Jesus Christ. The source is God. And that's where our confidence is. And that's where our desires are. Those are where our passions and our hopes and our expectations, all those things that we really need and count on in life, we need to have our roots go deep into that water so that when the outward things happen and the drought comes and the difficulties come in life, we're able to say, "My soil is rich because of what God's doing in my life, and it has no worries in the year of drought." Well, let me move on and talk about failure of circumstances. What would be some circumstances that are failures in our life, that would be seen as failures? Failure of performance is things that we're doing. Failure of circumstances we may not have any control over. What would be some of those? Yes. Yeah, that's difficult. That's a good illustration of a circumstance. What are some other circumstances that we might find ourselves in? When somebody else betrays you in life, or somebody else passes over you or neglects you, something you have no control over, but it it touches those feelings of failure very much so. Any other examples? Yeah. And in our society of comparison, it's very difficult to look at ourselves and to see ourselves besides other people and to say, you know what? I'm all right with the fact that I just can't be like that. That's okay with me. This doesn't mean a give-up attitude, but it means an acceptance of who God has made us to be, and that's beautiful. In the midst of failure, failure is often one of those things that God uses the most to pull us to himself and to say, I love you because of who I made you to be. It's a simple message, but a powerful message. How about times when God says no? Has God ever said no to you? Has God ever just done something in your way of life and just said no? And you know what? I'm not even going to tell you why no. Just no. Well, that's hard for us in our rationalistic world. Why, God? It doesn't make sense. No. He just says no. Look at in the Old Testament, you know, we see Sarah. How many years was Sarah barren? Anybody know? Take a guess. 90 years. 90 years. Well, we look at the end of her life and we see the son that she had, and we say, well, she wasn't a failure. But what about those 90 years in a society where children were everything? And for a woman to give birth to a child was everything. And yet, she was barren for 90 years. You ever stop and see in the circumstances of life when God says no? When God says no to this godly woman? How do you respond in those situations? How do you respond in the midst of repeatedly, year after year, something that you want so badly and something that is so beautiful in life? And God says no. That's powerful. Our society has taught us, do not give in. Do not accept those kinds of failures. Try to overpower them. Try to, through medicine and through other achievements, try to just overdo what God has said no. It's this failure to accept. It's this desire that I always have to have my own way. More than that, it's can we accept unfavorable circumstances in our life? Another question would be, what circumstances are essential for us to trust Christ? Have you ever thought of those? What do I need from God in order that I would live under Him? Do I need for Him to do good things for me all the time? Do I need those pats on the back and the constant affirmation? Well, there's an element that we do. We need that confidence from God. But is it spelled out in good things happening to you? Is it spelled out in things that you desire and the things that you say, I need? I need this. Well, what about when God says no? What does that do to our relationship with God? What does that do to our concept of God? One other question, can we see the goodness of God in circumstances of failure? Could Sarah still live in the goodness of God? It's one thing to accept who God is, and it's one thing to accept the fact that He can do these things in our life. But can you see the goodness of Him? And that is a powerful. And if you've ever been in that circumstance, and if you ever find yourself in that circumstance, I dare say that is more powerful than anything I have ever gone through in my life. To not just accept God's hand upon me, but to learn to see His goodness, even when God says no. That's a faith that's deep, that's rooted down into who God is, into my desires, and what's important to me, my hopes, my expectations, my dreams, that's all founded on who God is and what Christ has done for me. And so when the times of drought come, I'm able to see the goodness of God because my roots are down deep and they're rich and they're just enjoying the richness of who God is. Well, we've run out of time. But next week we're going to come back. We're going to talk briefly about failure of others. Can you allow others to fail around you? How about the failure of God? We've actually talked about that. And then just the next steps when Habakkuk says, "Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." See the normalcy of failure, the necessity of failure, and the privilege. We'll try to wrap that all up and come with some thoughts and some questions, and we'll have fun talking about the sovereignty of God, even in the midst of something that is often very ugly. Let's just thank the Lord for His sovereignty right now. Father, I pray that our words and the attitude of our heart would be prayers to You, that You would see that we desire so much to love You and to serve You. And even in the midst of ugliness, Father, we know what You have given to us is deeper than anything that we can imagine. And so when the waves of life pour in and the failures seem to mount, surround us, Father, what we're looking for is that richness of what You've done in our inner being. And we trust in that, and we rely on You, and we praise You for it. In Your name, amen.